In Illinois Public Media News at this hour, the City of Chicago's law office says it doesn't expect a judge to rule today on Mayor Rahm Emanuel's request for an order forcing striking school teachers back to work. Law Department spokesman Roderick Drew says a judge won't address the matter until later this week. He says it still isn't clear if it could be tomorrow, Wednesday, or even later. City attorneys asked a state court today to force Chicago Teachers Union members back into classrooms. Among other arguments, their filing contends the strike is illegal because it endangers students' health and safety. The union and school leaders seemed optimistic late this last week that they would reach a resolution by today, but teachers uncomfortable with a tentative contract offer said yesterday they needed more time to review it. An Illinois State Appeals Court has turned back Governor Pat Quinn's bid to throw out a temporary restraining order that bars him from closing two state prisons and various other corrections sites. The Carbondale Southern Illinoisan reports that Friday's ruling by a three-judge panel of the Mount Vernon-based Illinois 5th District Appellate Court let stand the order granted earlier this month by Associate Alexander County Judge Charles Cavaness. Cavaness barred the shuttering of the Dwight and Tams prisons. The order came at the request of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. An arbitrator had ruled in the union's favor and ordered the state and AFSCME to continue bargaining for 30 days before closures could begin. Members of the Visiting Academic Professionals Union on the University of Illinois' Urbana campus have unanimously approved a contract deal that includes retroactive raises for 2 years. VAPs were working during the last school year without a contract while they were negotiating a new deal with the U of I. What was hammered out includes a 3% salary bump during the first year, a 2.5% raise the second year, and merit-based raises during the third and fourth years. The union's chief negotiator, Alan Balonsky, says the contract isn't perfect, but he's satisfied with what's being offered.
All VAPs, now you're going to have to do two things. You're going to have to start thinking about asking your manager for the raise that you think you deserve. And also, all VAPs really should sign up and do things to make this a stronger union so that we can have a much stronger contract in 2 years.
In all 4 years of the contract, VAP employees are only allowed to receive one pay raise a year. The collective bargaining contract still needs to be presented to the university's comptroller for final approval. Republican Rodney Davis says his health care plan will preserve Medicare and leave medical decisions to the people rather than the government. The 13th District congressional candidate has unveiled an alternative to the Affordable Care Act. He says his plan will address areas like tort reform and purchasing insurance across state lines. But Davis says nothing will change for current Medicare recipients, something he wants to eliminate if elected.
But we also have to look at the solvency of Medicare and the fact that our kindergartner entering school this year, by the time he or she graduates from high school, Medicare will be insolvent. So we have to make some decisions to ensure that we have a Medicare system that many seniors are happy with now, make sure that it's there for generations to come.
Davis also wants to establish community health centers in rural communities. He says they'll give access to those who can't afford a trip outside the emergency room. Davis says the Affordable Care Act calls it a bureaucracy that would have hurt his wife, a colon cancer survivor who was misdiagnosed 4 months before surgery. The Republican says one's ability to choose a physician hurts that measure. Davis's opponent, Democrat and Bloomington physician David Gill, backs portions of the Affordable Care Act, but also wants to expand the structure of Medicare. Time is running out for Congress to pass a comprehensive farm bill. The current law expires at the end of the month. As Brian Mackey reports, the measure is creating unusual alliances in Washington.
One version of the farm bill passed the Senate weeks ago with something unusual in Washington nowadays, support from members of both parties. But that measure has had a harder time in the House. Illinois' Democratic U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is among those calling for action. This summer's drought left two-thirds of U.S. counties declared disaster areas, and Durbin says that's left farmers struggling.
Before the end of the year, they have to sit down with their banker, first their family, then their banker, and decide about next year. There's real uncertainty, because there's no farm program after the end of this month. It ends.
The holdup in the House is among Republicans, who hold power in the chamber. On one hand are farm state politicians who are demanding action, but they're being blocked by others who don't like the bill's steep price tag and spending on food aid for the poor. I'm Brian Mackey.
Republican vice presidential nominee Paul Ryan is visiting Indiana for a campaign fundraiser at downtown Indianapolis's J.W. Marriott Hotel. Indiana Republican Party spokesman Pete Seat tells the Indianapolis Star the party is excited about Ryan's appearance today. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney stopped in Evansville last month and in Lake County in July to raise money for his campaign. Tickets to the event cost $1,000, and the cost of hosting a table at the fundraiser is $10,000. The money raised today goes to the Romney Victory Fund. That fund is a fundraising committee comprising Romney for President, Inc., the National Republican Senatorial Committee, the National Republican Congressional Committee, and several state Republican parties. Police officers in Illinois could soon be better trained to help military veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Rich Egger has that story.
A new law requires a training program on the disorder be conducted by the Illinois State Police Academy and the Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board. Macomb Police Chief Kurt Barker says some soldiers see some pretty terrible things, making it difficult for them to cope when they return home.
So instead of just arresting them, I'm hoping that this training will help inform officers what solutions are available so that they can work with them to fix the problem and help eventually help the soldier.
Barker says police often come across vets suffering from PTSD on domestic violence calls or when contacted by a family member who is concerned about the former soldier. The new law takes effect January 1st. Rich Egger reporting.
Olympic discus thrower Lance Brooks has been honored in his central Illinois hometown of New Berlin. Brooks visited the village outside Springfield yesterday when he was the grand marshal of the New Berlin High School homecoming parade and was honored in a special ceremony. The Stage Runner Register reports two blocks in front of the high school were named Honorary Lance Brooks Drive. Brooks competed in the London Olympics. He has since returned to his job as a construction worker in the Denver area. The 28-year-old Brooks thanked the crowd, telling him, "They were always there for me." I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media News.